Hello, everyone. I'm Crystal Bauer, founder of Live Greatly. I'm an entrepreneur in wellness and a keynote speaker with an extensive healthcare background, striving to push past the boundaries of fear to live life fully from a place of optimal health, joy, and success. Now for a quick disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are purely the opinions of the author. They are not intended to provide medical advice or treatment recommendations, and the contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. Always seek the guidance of your physician or other qualified healthcare professional when you have any questions regarding your specific health, any changes to diet and exercise, and any medical conditions. Now let's jump into the topic for today's podcast, and we are so lucky to have an amazing and inspiring guest, Colleen Wacob. And Colleen is a co-founder and co-CEO at Mind Body Green. She graduated from Stanford University with degrees in international relations and Spanish, and spent 10 years working at Fortune 500 companies, including Gap, Walmart, and Amazon. And she lives in Brooklyn, New York, with her husband, Mind Body Green founder and co-CEO, Jason, and their two daughters. So welcome, Colleen. Thank you so much. And for everyone listening, this is my second time recording with Colleen because the first time something happened and it got wiped out, and she has been so kind to record again. So welcome for the second time, Colleen. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm so happy to be here, and I'm sure our conversation will be even better.
I love that attitude. You know, I wanted to jump into Mind Body Green because for those out there maybe who haven't had experience with Mind Body Green, I was hoping you could share a little bit about your company and what your mission is.
Yeah, so Mind Body Green is a well-being company that's dedicated to mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, and environmental well-being, and we strive to give people the tools to help people achieve those goals within their own lives through our free content that is on our site, our online education program, or our newly launched supplements. So there's a lot of different ways that we help you achieve your goals.
That's fantastic. And I know we chatted about this last time, and your story of how you became co-CEO with Mind Body Green is so powerful. I was hoping that you could tell your story about how you went from being in the Fortune 500 companies to transitioning over to this well-being company.
Yeah. So like a lot of people within well-being, I started within corporate America, always worked for some of the largest companies, whether it be Gap, Walmart, or Amazon. And, really enjoyed working, learned so much in a lot of those roles. And when I was, I was doing my day job, but then on the nights, really exploring wellness and going down that rabbit hole that's so captivating when you start out and, you know, start feeling a little bit better in your life and then start going down this wonderful like path of curiosity that is the wellness journey and start digging into so many different elements of your life. And then when I was 32 and working at Amazon, I actually had a huge inflection point in my life in that I had a pulmonary embolism. I was coming out of a yoga class, had trouble breathing, and really stumbled walking up the subway stairs trying to get back home. And it was a weekend, and my initial response was, I must be just tired. Called my doctor. He didn't really seem that alarmed. And who wants to go to an ER in New York City on a beautiful Saturday day? So didn't probably take those initial signs as seriously as I could have. Saw my doctor on Monday morning, and he was like, "You have showers and clots in your lungs. You need to go to the ER right now."
Wow.
And the good thing about pulmonary embolism is if you do get to the ER, you can get some medication that will help you recover and help ease the clots out of your lungs. But, just getting back up to speed took me a long time. And I was a very healthy, 32-year-old woman besides this pulmonary embolism. So that was a huge inflection point for me to, exit corporate America and also devote my life to well-being. And that was when I made the transition from helping out Jason, who's a founder, kind of on the weekends and after work. And we had the luxury of my paycheck to really joining full time. So it was a huge inflection point for me. And I know so many people within wellness have, even if it's not a life-threatening event, one of those like mini inflection points that causes them to kind of rethink how they're spending their days.
Right. Yeah. That's such a powerful story. And you made such a huge shift, and that takes so much courage. And I'm curious, like if you have any suggestions for people out there who maybe they have something that they really want to go for, but they're afraid, you know? And I think when you have those big life-changing experiences, that puts you in a position to, for me at least, it's when I've had big life experiences, it's given me more courage to like make those changes and really try and live life fully in each moment. But I'm curious if you have any thoughts for people on how they can start to follow their passion.
Yeah, I think one of the most important life lessons from our entrepreneurship journey is that it's a marathon and not a sprint. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, when you, where you're frustrated with, you know, life, it's really easy to kind of make those like quick decisions, be like, I'm leaving right now. But what was really helpful for us was, you know, taking the time to ease in and to make sure that, you know, this passion is real, that it's something you really want to devote your life to. And, you know, our journey as a company has evolved and, you know, continues to, you know, go in ways you didn't expect. It was never just like a linear journey for us. And so I think, you know, there is value to me in taking time to ease in to go full time, because it enabled us to have the stability of a paycheck as opposed to I have to make this profitable in 6 months and support mm-hmm. my family. And that pressure is so intense. And I think if you are worried about your financial wellness, you know, it only adds stress when you're trying, you know, to move into a place of more ease and more joy and more passion. So I really enjoyed working in corporate America. So if I were to give, you know, a little bit of life lessons to myself, it was probably just to be a little bit more patient with myself. And sometimes, you know, it's going to take a while to get to a place where you're working 100% for yourself. And that's okay, because you're still learning things that are, you know, super valuable for when you do decide to be an entrepreneur 100%.
Yeah, that's great advice. I think a lot of times we can beat ourselves up. And my personal mission is to just be kinder to myself. I tend to be a perfectionist about things, and I want things to go a certain way, you know, and if they don't, it's like, oh, and I'm learning to try and relax, especially as an entrepreneur, like you said, you know, it's a marathon, and really just taking a step back and kind of tuning in to myself and asking the question, like, what do I need right now? You know, what do I need to kind of feel my best and to try and navigate based on kind of listening to my intuition and following my passions. But that's been a learning curve for me to try and, I guess, tweak my expectations of where I can be proud of myself. And even when things don't go the way that I really wanted them to go. I don't know. Have you had any experiences like that where you've had to kind of develop that self-love even when things around you aren't turning out the way you want them to?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, if I were to like zoom out a bit, like one of the bigger problems is there's a lot of glamorization that goes on about being an entrepreneur. And, you know, there are some incredible highs, but there's also some, you know, really tough lows. And so I think sometimes we walk into these where our expectations are a little bit of mismatch for what, you know, the entrepreneurship, you know, really entails. Mm-hmm. So I think there's, you know, a huge mindset opportunity just to, you know, check yourself of like, okay, why am I doing this? What am I looking for? Am I, you know, really being thoughtful about what the day-to-day, you know, entails, and that's what I'm looking for, and is that what I'm signing up for? Because, you know, 99 out of 100 times you're going to be working harder than you ever have. So you have to be truly passionate about the mission, because it will be likely a longer non-linear journey than you probably expected. And whenever those times have gotten really tough, you know, for us, it's always been about the mission that keeps us engaged, keeps us excited, and keeps us invigorated. And if you're not excited about the mission, it's a really tough path.
Right. Yeah. And I think that is, yeah, coming back to that why. And that helps me too. It's like, even if I can help inspire like one person, you know, it's like just to coming back to why am I doing this in the first place? You know, and sometimes I think that can get it can get a little cloudy when you're kind of in the thick of it, but having time to reflect. And we just went to a lake house in Michigan, and it was so wonderful because I had time just to sit, change the scenery with everything going on, and reflect and kind of see the big picture. And I came back to my why, and what is so important to me. And I think for a lot of people, maybe they don't have that defined yet. And for you and for Jason, like, did you both with Mind Body Green, did you have your why initially and has it stayed the same or has it shifted and changed as you guys have evolved?
Great question. So, you know, the core values of Mind Body Green have been the same from day one. So for the past 10 years, it's really been about mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, environmental well-being. And what's really interesting about our journey as a company is back 10 years ago, we weren't using the words wellness. Mm-hmm. It's not in our name. You know, we weren't using it with ourselves or with our team. And over the years, that's, you know, kind of maybe how others would refer to us as a media company. I prefer the words well-being. Our core values haven't changed. I think it's just, you know, the way in which other people kind of talk about, you know, Mind Body Green as an entity. So those core values for us haven't changed. And I think that's been, you know, a really important part. And we go back to like our mission work a lot of times and just kind of check ourselves. I'm like, okay, are we still doing it, you know, in the way we thought we would? I think what has changed for us as a company that, you know, maybe we didn't anticipate is just the ways in which we bring, you know, the mission to life. When we started, it was 100% about content. And now that medium's changed, you know, we have a podcast, the type of content we do has changed, and we have online education and consumer products, which, you know, were things we thought about 10 years ago, but we weren't actively doing.
Right. You know, another thing I wanted to talk to you about as, you know, a powerful woman and, you know, co-CEO, I think sometimes we all naturally as people tend to look at others and sometimes put people on pedestals like, oh, they're better because XYZ fill in the blank. And one thing that I'm striving to do is really to try and view everyone as equals. And I'm wondering how have you ever dealt with that? And I think for me too, as an entrepreneur and trying to build, it takes confidence and it takes confidence to believe in yourself, to, you know, interact and approach people who seem to be very successful. And I'm wondering what your experience has been as you've grown and established yourself with Mind Body Green and how you've navigated those waters.
I think that's a great question. I think for women too, we tend to, you know, maybe not be as confident as men can be in those types of entrepreneurial situations. And when I look at myself, like I am not someone who has a huge risk portfolio. I am not someone who, when I was growing up, was like, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I tend to shy away from risk-averse situations, which, you know, knowing that only 10% of startups, you know, are going to succeed, I think the numbers may actually be even, you know, more dire than that. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not like the natural psychological profile for an entrepreneur. So it's definitely something that I've had to grow into. And I think, you know, some of the most important life lessons I've learned are from being an entrepreneur. The emotional resilience that you develop and foster and keep is so, so strong. And I think it definitely helps make you a better person, for myself, a better mother, a better friend, because the challenges are very real and they don't go away. And as your business grows, they just change and morph and form and actually become kind of bigger problems to deal with and to kind of cope. And especially in a new year like 2020, you know, where there's been so much upheaval, the tests never go away. They just change and evolve and form. And one of the ways in which, you know, I wish there was a little bit more, I don't know, just candor around this. No entrepreneur I interact with is like, oh, this is so easy. Everyone is scrambling, yeah, you know, and trying to figure it out. And I think there's a huge disconnect between a lot of times what people will talk about in closed circles and what they portray on Instagram, which further perpetuates, yeah, this idea that other people have it figured out, this should be easy. And I think the more that we can just be real, whether it's on social media or within conversations about entrepreneurship's hard, and, you know, be there to support each other, the better.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I know, honesty. I think just being true, being real to yourself, and that can bring about real authentic conversations. And I found too, like just being able to be vulnerable and to allow people to kind of really see who you are and not be afraid of judgment. And that's something that I know I was always afraid of growing up. And maybe that's just part of growing up. You know, you're worried about what everybody else thinks. But after I got the courage to get over that, you know, you really can step into who you are and really let your, you know, your talents shine. And that, but that definitely took some growing pains, I think, to kind of get that mindset and get that perspective. You know, I think a lot of people growing up can deal with a lot of issues with self-confidence and blocks to self-love. I'm wondering if you have any suggestions for how people can start to boost their confidence who are looking to kind of harness that and develop that for themselves.
I think it's all about finding, you know, the authentic path for yourself. And everyone's path looks so different. And I think right now there's, you know, I hate to go back to Instagram again, but I think there's a lot of pressure for founders, female founders in particular, to, you know, be the face of the brand, and I'm running a company, I'm making it look easy, and I'm taking photographs that look great on Instagram. And, you know, that never felt authentic to me. You know, I never had, you know, dreams of being a content creator. And within MindBodyGreen, it's always been more about, you know, the community and the experts. So that hasn't been a path for me that I've actively pursued. Now, on the flip side of that, there are so many people that get jazzed about creating content and, you know, being, you know, very focal as a part of the brand or a part of the narrative, and, you know, want that and crave that. And it really feeds their soul. And that's a great place to be too. So I think it's about, you know, being honest about like what feels authentic to you as a person, because, you know, if it doesn't feel right to you, there's probably something within your intuition that's right, that's saying, hey, this might not be right. And really just to listen to those voices of wisdom, of intuition, because a lot of time they're right.
Yeah, that's really good advice. I know there's so many different opinions out there, and a lot of opinions are presented as facts, you know, so you can find million different things about one topic. And I think it's really overwhelming sometimes, because if you're someone who looks outside of yourself for answers, it's like, what do I believe and what do I do? And what I'm learning is, yeah, just trusting your intuition and finding yourself again and an awakening to your power that you really get to choose. You know, you can choose what to believe, who to surround yourself with. And on that note, I love talking about nutrition. And I love how Mind, Body, Green, you guys always have some new upcoming, you know, different tips for nutrition. I think it can get overwhelming. And when I was practicing in functional medicine, integrated psychiatry, you know, people would come in with all these different, you know, is this okay if I do this diet or I do this? And, you know, I think a lot of it comes down to it's individual, and what works for one person may not work for another. But I'm curious what your thoughts are and what you do for your family as far as your nutrition.
Such a great question. I agree. The nutrition landscape is really confusing, and people have to make an investment to figure out what works for them, because it is so individualized. And, you know, when I go back to kind of like the core tenets of MindBodyGreen that have remained true over the past 10 years, you know, I always reference Michael Pollan: eat food, not too much, mostly plants. And, you know, if I were to give one, you know, sound bite of advice, that would be it. You know, as a woman who's gone through many different life experiences, I can also relate to the diet that worked in my 20s, didn't work when I was pregnant, doesn't work now when I have a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. And I believe that it is a journey of finding the right tools from a nutrition standpoint that work for you, because what worked at different life stages isn't going to necessarily, you know, transcend your entire existence. So I think it's making the investment of figuring it out, and being that CEO of your family and your family's nutrition. And what works for me doesn't work for Jason. And now that we have a 1-year-old and a 3.5-year-old, it's about finding, you know, what also works for us as a family. And as we go through different life stages, it evolves so quickly. But one of the things that's so exciting about food and nutrition is it's one of the easiest changes that you can make in your life where you will feel a profound impact on your health and in your mindset. And you know it after you have a meal that makes you feel good. You know it after you have a meal that, you know, kind of makes you feel like crap. Yeah. And you know, when you take that and prolong it over a day, over a week, like, you can really help transform your life and your family's life. So, you know, for me, it's just been such an important ritual, an important place to transform my family's health. And I also believe in just the power of food as ritual and as culture, and the power of breaking bread and sitting as a family, and really making, you know, a sacred ritual around dinner as a family, even if it's just, you know, bean and cheese quesadillas and some guacamole. But I do think it's important as a family to help set those practices and have traditions around food, because they are meaningful, and it is a wonderful shared experience to do with family and friends.
Yeah, that's, I completely agree. And I, with my kids too, it is, a lot of it is trying to incorporate healthy food in a fun way for them. And it's kind of just constantly trying to be creative. And sometimes I don't have the time. So it's like, okay, you do the best you can with what you have. But when I was, again, practicing in integrative psychiatry, that this was the first thing I would talk to patients about. The first thing was their diet. And yes, I was always shocked by the percentages of people who did not know that there was a correlation. And I think a lot of people, even in the healthcare community, still don't fully know how strong of a correlation there can be between your mental health and nutrition and your gut health. And that was a really exciting thing to talk to people about, because it gave them a sense of empowerment. You know, it's like, you can make these changes and you can have some significant impacts. But that's something I love to talk about, you know, and a lot of people don't know you're making a lot of your serotonin in your gut. And those are just such fun topics. And I love that you at Mind Body Green, you know, you guys embrace that. And I know, oh gosh, Dr. Singh, he was presented at our GI unit for my integrative medicine fellowship. And I know he does a lot of work with you, but it's just fantastic how you're incorporating all those modalities to help people. I love it.
Well, thank you. We do believe it's about looking at the full human, and everything that's going on in our bodies is all interconnected. You brought up anxiety, and it's something that I think is such an important topic as it relates to mental health, especially now in the world in which we're living in, that has, you know, we're back dealing with a pandemic again. I think we thought we had crossed it the last time you and I talked, and we're now back into it. And I think this idea of mental health is so important, especially for women, and it is so closely tied to diet as well.
Yeah, very true. And, you know, as we're having this conversation, I mentioned I'm drinking tea and I love Tulsi tea. And that's, I learned just so many wonderful ways throughout my training to support myself, you know. And I think there are so many ways that you can naturally support your mental health that's, you know, approachable for people. And I think the integrative medicine and integrative psychiatry, I'm hopeful that those different techniques become a little bit more mainstream for people. So that's definitely part of my mission is to help educate and spread the word on all those different topics. And on that note, I'm curious too, what you do personally. Like, do you have any self-care routines? Are you, like, there any supplements that you take that you're willing to share that you love? Wondering if you have any things you think really help you stay grounded and feel your best.
Yeah. And my perspective on wellness and well-being has changed so much since becoming a mom. You know, the time has just become so much more limited, as everyone knows. And I think one of the knocks on wellness is it takes too much time and it's too expensive. And some of the best kind of tenets of well-being are really free. Or I shouldn't say free, but aren't always as expensive as they need to be. So, you know, one of them is drinking a lot of water. As we talk, I'm having a Topo Chico mineral water, which is, you know, one of the most seltzery, wonderful mineral waters out there. It brings so much joy to my life to be able to have. Getting movement and getting nature, even though I live within New York City, You know, it's something I try to do every day, even if it's for a walk around the park. One of the silver linings of the pandemic has been in rediscovering my joy of running and being outside. I don't like running on a treadmill, but I love being outside. And I think getting that time in nature is so, so precious. Mm-hmm. Having a gratitude practice, whatever that means, you know, I make a practice of waking up and saying thank you. And it's also what I say before I go to bed at night, you know, for all of the blessings that we've had in life. Sleep has been something that has been a universal problem that has, you know, affected my life since college. And through a combination of practicing sleep etiquette, which for me means making sure my room is at 65 degrees. I'm very diligent about not having caffeine after 10 a.m., you know, understanding the time at which I exercise so that I don't rev up my system again, and having Mindbody Greens Magnesium Plus sleep formula, I have finally, you know, cured my sleep issues, and I've been able to fall asleep and stay asleep without medication, which has been huge for me. And even when you have young kids, I think it's so important to try to find ways to get that sleep in. If it's, you know, taking nights off and with your partner, if you are raising a family with someone, to be able to trade off or whatever that looks like, I do think it's such an important part of well-being. And of course, you know, prioritizing the healthy habits that you can sustain. So I make sure to start every week, you know, with a green smoothie that is loaded with green veggies that are frozen. I love buying frozen vegetables, last so much longer. Mm-hmm. Also put in our Mindbody Greens organic sea veggies powder. And if I start my week with that, for me, it's like an anchor of, okay, I'm doing everything I can to start off the week optimally. So if I come home and can't have a healthy lunch, or if something gets messed up with my schedule, I know that I've started my week with that anchor, which just kind of sets the week and the tone for me in a way that will create ripple effects of other healthy habits.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to check out your powder. I love making smoothies. That's one of my favorite things too. And my kids love it. And that's like one of my son's things, the blender out, and he like all the frozen things, and it's so fun. But those are really, all those things you said, I practice as well. I think those are wonderful. And sleep, like you said, that sleep is so key. Oh my gosh. Like if you don't have a good night's sleep, like for me at least, like I'm such a grouch. Like I can't function as well. And I normally sleep great, but I went through a little bit of a stage where there was a lot of stress going on. And I thought, oh, I'll be proactive and I'll start taking something that, you know, I know is supposed to be supportive, like a supplement for sleep. But for me, it actually had the opposite effect.
Yeah.
It was making me stay up. And I was like, oh no, is this from stress? And I couldn't figure it out. And I stopped it. And within a day or two, things were back to normal. But there's just, it's so interesting how each individual person can react differently to different things. So definitely, I always recommend like working with somebody who knows what they're doing when you're trying to figure out your sleep issues, for sure.
Always good advice.
Yeah, yeah. So we are about to come to a close, Colleen. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to share, any, you know, projects that are going to be launching with Mindbody Green, or anything you'd like everyone to know about.
Yeah. So, never a dull moment here at Mindbody Green. We've launched an incredible podcast series called Healing From Here, about profiling different BIPOC leaders and, you know, how they recommend the path, for healing as a country. I especially loved the one with Bill Harper. I recommend that everyone, check it out. We're going to be continuing to offer new products in our Mindbody Green supplements launch. So check those out if you haven't. And we're going to be continuing to offer some of the cutting edge nutrition and health content that our audience has grown up with us with.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. It has been such a pleasure having you on this for the second time. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you everyone for tuning in today. I'm going to put Mindbody Green's website on the episode details so you can access all of their wonderful content. And you can follow me and Live Greatly on Instagram and Twitter. at livegreatly_CO and on Facebook at livegreatly.co. You can learn more about me on my website, www.livegreatly.co. And if you liked what you heard today, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a review and sharing it with your friends, subscribing to the podcast. That definitely helps me out. And until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, encouraging you all to awaken your ultimate potential.